Kickstart your day at 7 and get the news you need from the perspective you want. News One Now with Roland Martin, every weekday morning at 7 on TV One.
Good morning, I'm Roland Martin. Next on News One Now, former NFL player Ray Lewis goes off on Facebook and YouTube challenging Black Lives Matter to stand up and do more when it comes to black-on-black crime. But guess what? Folks, clap back real fast. We'll break it down with a couple of Black Lives Matter activists. Republican National Committee, they have lost nearly all of their black staffers. What in the world is going on? Why are they leaving? Also, some of the biggest and the baddest in the ethnic beauty business drop by to talk about why there should be more accessibility for black hair care products and why relegating them to the ethnic aisle is not what they want to do. Clothing retailer Gap comes under fire for its latest advertisement, and they've now apologized. Also, it's time for What the Hell Thursday. Lots of folks in the house, including Gisele Bryant from Housewives of Potomac. Y'all know how I feel about those Housewives shows, but I'll leave that alone. All of that next on News 1 Now TV 1. Folks, former National Football League player and Super Bowl champion Ray Lewis is blasting the Black Lives Matter movement when it comes to crime, specifically African-Americans killing African-Americans. He made these various statements on his YouTube and Facebook page. More than 2 million folks have viewed the comments. We're going to play some of those for you. And there's even one controversial issue that we're going to break down that deals with mandatory minimums. Here's a peek of Ray Lewis's video.
I'm trying to figure out if black lives really matter. I'm trying to ask the question if to the organization of black lives is if they really mattered, then why not riot now? There was 141 murders this year, 82 murders last year at the same time. I'm trying to figure out in my mind why no one is paying attention to black men killing black men. Why we always find ourselves as the victims. And now we have the separation once again that we're being victimized because of one bad white cop, 2 bad white cops, 3 bad white cops kill a young black brother. But every day we have black on black crime killing each other. I'm trying to stop to ask this one simple thing. When will we appreciate who we are? When will our skin color start paying attention to our own skin color? When will we stop crying that black lives matter? Because God says, I am Alpha and Omega. I am creator of all. And all come up under me with my spirit, which means color means nothing. I was asked if I was an elected official, what would I do to stop some of this violence? I would put barrels on each corner and I would give you 30 days to drop all illegal weapons in these barrels. And if you found yourself going outside of that, the moment I found you with them, that's 25 years mandatory. We got babies in Baltimore being shot in the middle of the streets. They're on their front porch and they're being shot. We got a family of 5 to 6 sitting in the backyard having a barbecue. And the whole entire family gets executed. But we keep screaming, Black Lives Matter. If they really matter, then let's do ourselves a favor. Let's stop killing black folks. We all got our struggles. There's nothing about me that's perfect. I'm a struggling man every day of my life to walk the right path. I haven't figured it all out yet. But I figured out enough.
Now, folks, the total video is about 9 minutes. And, of course, here are some comments that folks made on Twitter. I want to pull those up. Joel D. Anderson said, Ray Lewis, once charged with murder and someone who reached a settlement with a dead man's family, should pipe down about black-on-black crime. Next comment, please. Ray Lewis said that BLM should address black-on-black crime. The irony is so thick you could cut it with a knife at a Super Bowl party. Next comment. Many of us have been working on violence in our communities for years. Has Ray Lewis organized his athlete buddies to help people talk without knowledge? And that tweet was from Tamika Mallory, one of the leaders of the New York Justice League, and she joins us right now via Skype. Tamika, welcome to the show. Also on Skype is Malina Abdullah, professor of Pan-African Studies at California State University. Want to welcome both of you. Joining me in the studio, Laura Coates, former federal prosecutor for Department of Justice, David Swertlik, assistant editor for The Washington Post, Rhonda Fahmy, former associate deputy secretary of energy in the Bush administration. Tamika, want to start with you. First and foremost, this is not the first time that Ray Lewis has specifically talked about Black Lives Matter, what more they should be doing. Earlier I said it's about 2 million views. That was yesterday. Right now it's about 3.5 million. But a couple of things that he said. First of all, he said, why aren't folks rioting over this? John Hope Bryant with Operation Hope says this: you never seen a riot in the community with the credit score is 700 or above. Now, I listen to Ray Lewis talk about violence, and we deal with it on this show. But what I did not hear Ray Lewis talk about are jobs, poverty, a chronic situation that has been created in Chicago, created in inner cities, exacerbated by infusion of guns, infusion of drugs. I didn't hear any of that.
Right. I think, you know, Roland, first of all, thank you for having me on, that Ray Lewis simply needs a seat. Because there are a lot of Black Lives Matter activists, if you will, the movement for Black Lives, folks who are engaged in that effort, who have been on the ground working for many years in communities all across this country trying to deal with the issue of violence. I could list a group of people from all over the country who have been doing the work. The question that I have is that before you speak out against what is Black Lives Matter doing? You should first ask yourself, what is Ray Lewis doing? And how much have you been supportive of those of us who are on the ground, who can't necessarily get funding or jobs into communities? As you have stated, Roland, there are many, many ills in the communities that create this environment where violence exists, not just in Chicago, but in Brooklyn, in the city in which I live, and in cities all over this country. And so it is easy to make blanket statements. And it seems that he wanted to show people that he was learning how to preach. But he really did. He should not have spoke. And as a matter of fact, let me go back and say, I agree that more people need to care, but caring is not all we need. We need more people to do the work. And so I would say to Ray Lewis that he should be organizing his buddies, his athlete buddies, to show up and get involved and help these organizations do the work.
Malina Abdullah, look, this is not the, first time we've heard folks say this. And I'm looking at Ray Lewis's Facebook page right now. And what I'm looking for, Malina, I'm actually looking for other posts that actually speak to the fundamental problems in these communities. And so I don't see them. The reason I'm making this point, and I've met Ray Lewis, and Ray Lewis is a nice guy who had certainly a Hall of Fame career, but he has nearly 2 million people who follow him on his Facebook page. And my deal would be, if you're looking to challenge Black Lives Matter, I guess I would be expecting to see more about those very issues on the Facebook page, other than posts promoting your book, different comments, you know, be strong, take courage, those sort of affirming statements. I would expect more if you think this is an issue.
Absolutely. And thank you for having me. And I think I just want to echo Tamika's points that when we think about so-called black-on-black crime, really what we're talking about is structural violence within black communities. So there are reasons why we have crimes within our communities, why we have violence within our communities. And most of that boils down to economic questions, not enough livable wage jobs, not enough resources, not enough after-school programs, and we really need to challenge systems to funnel resources into the communities that would allow communities to flourish. When you see flourishing communities, you see drops in crimes. Rather than seeing the allocation of resources within our communities, we see resources going into pouring into policing, which does not promote safer communities. So we know right here in my city of Los Angeles, we're looking at increasing the policing budget while we have brothers who are doing work in communities and have been doing work in communities, as Sister Tamika said, for decades and longer. Brothers like Akilah Sherrills, who has been doing work here in Los Angeles as well as in Newark, New Jersey with Mayor Raz Baraka, talking about how intervention and prevention work has been the primary means by which crime has gone down, yet cities have been unwilling to invest in those kinds of investments. Further, as an original member of Black Lives Matter and the Black Lives Matter Network, one of the things that we also need to think about is all of us who are committing our lives and our work and ourselves and our resources to making our communities better are taking pieces of it. The Black Lives Matter Network is focused on state-sanctioned violence and is happy and committed to supporting those who have the expertise and working within communities to work directly with folks who are most affected by structural violence.
Laura, I didn't go to you. Here's a problem that I have. So Ray Lewis talks about the violence in the communities. He's talking about young Black men killing one another, not having structure. Mm-hmm. But then he calls for a mandatory minimum of 25 years in prison, which, when mandatory minimums exacerbated the problems in the communities, and as a little thing called the Constitution, and laws to somehow, so I get the emotion, I get the pain, but how do you think calling for a mandatory minimum is somehow going to fix the problem when we've had mandatory minimums since the Clinton crime bill in 1994? And tell me how best actually fix this problem.
It won't. It's as farcical as having barrels on every corner to stop gun violence, which is what he also calls for. The point that Ray Lewis misses fundamentally is this. You can still be opposed to state-sanctioned murder and homicide and killing and also be vehemently opposed to black-on-black crime. They're not mutually exclusive. In fact, as a prosecutor, all the cases I ever prosecuted were all the same race against the same race. That means whites don't kill whites
because when you have folks who kill each other, it's where they live.
And also, people understand that it's so not mutually exclusive because to say that people are not entitled to be opposed to a police officer going above and beyond the call of duty, violating the law, and committing homicides, it would suggest that you are not entitled as a white person to be opposed to rape because there's been rape in your community as well. Absurd.
But then, David, what also got me was, and Rama as well, as I'm listening to this, well, okay, there's one cop, there's two cops, there's three cops. Yeah. I'm listening to that and I'm going, Ray Lewis.
Right.
Are you crazy? Right. So my deal is like, Ray, you want to discuss Chicago? Right. Why don't we talk about John Burge? Why don't we talk about the number of Black men who went to prison when confessions were beaten out of them? How about if we could talk about Chicago? Because he kept bringing up Chicago. Right. We could talk about Chicago, the Holman building that was where nobody knew about it, where they would take suspects and they couldn't call in lawyers. Family had no idea where they were. Where you got cops over the radios using the N-word. Well, you have a total police system that is corrupt.
Two quick points, right. Roland. One, he must not watch your show, first of all, because we talk about this on your show all the time. There are cases all over the country, not one cop, not two cop, not three cop. Look, most cops are out there doing their job the way they're supposed to, but there are countless examples on video of police brutality incidents, police killing people, unarmed people that he's not really addressing in that video. One more point I wanted to make, because I can't add too much to what everybody else has already said, except this. It's okay to criticize Black Lives Matter, right? Everybody can be criticized. I've criticized Black Lives Matter on this set. But Black Lives Matter, in the space of 2 years, has moved an agenda forward. It's a group that's decentralized, but different factions of that group have moved an agenda forward. You've got people, Ray Lewis is a Baltimore guy. You've got people like DeRay McKesson from Black Lives Matter running for mayor of Baltimore. He's not going to win, but he's pressing an agenda where he's trying to get this issue addressed in a way that Ray Lewis is not even addressing.
All I have to say is, what motivated him to make this video? I mean, clearly he's upset about crime, no question. But Roland, I think it would be great if you would interview him and ask him.
What motivated him? Why did he do this? I would love to talk to him, and I'm about to send a tweet as well, because the problem I have is, Tamika, is, again, you got 2 million followers, and again, we've talked about, I organized, and here's the other piece. When I lived in Chicago, had a radio show there, organized 1,000 black men to come to the House of Hope, led by Reverend James Meeks, to deal with this very issue. What I want to know is, when will Ray Lewis travel to Chicago and go to the communities? When will, to your point, organize the athletes, when will Ray Lewis begin to say, okay, who's actually doing the work to de-escalate violence in those communities? And are you guys funded? What assistance do you need? Sitting in your mansion, making a video in your prayer room, when many people in Chicago do not even have a prayer room, much less anything else, to sit there and only make this claim that, yes, we should stop killing, but there's something else at play. And so when you talk about Chicago, with those level of shootings, we are talking about a city where black folks have literally been frozen out of the economic upward mobility for 3 and 4 generations. And there was no mention of any of that.
Right, because he doesn't know. He is just speaking based upon what he has heard and what the enemy, in my judgment, has put into his mind. He is playing a divisive game that we do not need. It is not going to help us. I echo what Laura has said. We can chew bubble gum and walk at the same time. We can be against police killing us and against Ray Ray killing John John in our communities. We have the right to do both, and he does not know. And the reason why over 2 million followers, as you have said, and you know what information is on his page, is because this video that he did was about him trying to get publicity for himself. That is all it's about, because I promise you that he has not had gang leaders and other young people over to his home in his prayer room to have these conversations. I'm sure he has not walked the streets of Chicago. I'm sure he has not worked on the streets of New Orleans or come into Brooklyn or the Bronx or other places where violence is happening. And certainly, I am very, very much involved in the movement for Black Lives. I'm on the ground. When I worked for National Action Network for over 14 years, police accountability was one of our major efforts that we focused on. But at the same time, we had a very, very serious area where we dealt with gun violence, where we worked with a coalition of people to force New York City to put over $15 million into grassroots organizations. So if he wants to talk about people's records and what people are doing, he should call the people on the ground and find out how he can be supportive. Otherwise, sit down, shut up, and continue to do whatever it is that you've been doing from the ivory tower.
Melina, last comment for you, and I got about 30 seconds. As I listened to Ray Lewis talk about this violence in the communities, what immediately came to mind are the number of NFL players, NBA players, who have been busted with guns. And my question is, what conversation is Ray Lewis having with fellow athletes who have been busted with guns?
Right, absolutely. And, you know, I'm not here to indict anybody. What I'm here to do is, and what we're here to do is challenge people, including athletes, to be involved, to be a part of the solution. So if you have a piece of the work that you want to carry, we want you to carry that work. We are in a state of war. We are in a state where black people are being assailed by every possible means, and we need all hands on deck, including Ray Lewis. So get out there and do the work. partner up with people who are doing the work and help us. Get out and help us. That's what we're looking for.
All right, Melina, I appreciate it. Thanks a lot. Tamika Mallory, thank you so very much as well.
Thank you.
Folks, coming up next, why are so many Black Republicans leaving the Republican National Committee? We'll break that down next on News One Now on TV One. Also, we'll talk about this issue of Black hair care products being relegated to only ethnic aisles. We'll talk to the CEO of a Black hair care product company. So all of that next on News One Now TV One.
Wherever you are, we are your centerpiece for Black thoughts in America. It's News One Now with your host, Roland Martin.
The White House is urging Congress to act quickly and approve an additional $1.9 billion in emergency funding to fight the Zika virus. The White House already planned to redirect nearly $600 million that was set aside to fight Ebola to a fund to stop Zika. Researchers believe there may be a link between Zika and a neurological birth defect in which a baby's head is too small and other serious complications.
And that is why we need Congress to step up to the plate and not do something controversial, not do something that guarantees anybody a political victory, but to do something that would make the American people safer from a virus that targets pregnant women and their newborn babies.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention will use the money to help develop an anti-Zika vaccine and treat people infected with the virus. The rest of the money will go towards fighting the virus overseas. The number of people living with diabetes has quadrupled over the past three decades. As according to the World Health Organization's first global diabetes report, researchers found diabetes killed 1.5 million people in 2012. Another 2.2 million died from high blood glucose. In 1980, 108 million adults had diabetes. That number jumped to 422 million adults in 2014. Researchers note the rise in type 2 diabetes is linked to the global increase in the number of people who are overweight or obese. They found in 2014, almost one in four adults aged over 18 years old was overweight, and more than one in 10 were obese. The World Health Organization says society must work together to tackle the disease, which costs an estimated $827 billion each year in patient care and medicine. Duke University students are refusing to leave a building until three administrators are fired. The students have been in a room outside the office of the Duke president. The students are upset about the actions of Talman Trask III, Duke's executive vice president. The school's newspaper recently published an investigative report accusing Trask of hitting a contract employee who is a Black woman and calling her, quote, a stupid nigger in 2014. Besides demanding certain administrators be fired, the students want the minimum wage raised to $15 for all Duke workers. Trask released a statement saying, quote, while the details of what happened are a matter of disagreement and subject of civil litigation, I recognize that my conduct fell short of the civility and respectful conduct each member of this community owes to everyone. Duke University's newspaper reports the Parking and Transportation Services Department have complained of multiple incidents of racism and hostile behavior by supervisors. Folks, the folks at Gap is the latest company accused of publishing a racially insensitive ad. Look at this ad. The ad shows four girls, three white and one Black, from the Le Petit Cirque with a quote, girls can do anything. But one of the white girls is resting her arm on the head of the only Black child featured. Critics said the pose was reminiscent to when Black children were used as armrest and footstools during slavery. Gap responded to the criticism with a statement saying, quote, as a brand with a proud 46-year history of championing diversity and inclusivity, we appreciate the conversation that has taken place and are sorry to anyone we've offended. We are replacing the image with a different shot from the campaign, which encourages girls and boys everywhere to be themselves and feel pride in what makes them unique. All right, folks, coming up next, why are Black members of the Republican National Committee leaving the RNC? We'll talk about that. We'll also break down a new initiative that deals with Black hair care products being relegated to the ethnic product lines in stores. Trust me, you don't realize how big of an issue this is. All right, folks, also, it's What the Hell Thursday. You know we've got some crazy stories to deal with. Always good to bring the funk right here on News One Now on TV.
Kickstart your day at 7 and get the news you need from the perspective you want. News One Now with Roland Martin every weekday morning at 7 on TV One.
In the last couple of months, the Republican National Committee has lost nearly all of their black staffers. Many are wondering what is behind the massive exit. Just last week, another top African-American staffer left. The National Director of African-American Outreach, Crystal Corker-Hartsfield, was responsible for strategy around the African-American vote. She was also the highest-ranking African-American at the RNC. Hartsfield was one of two big departures the Republican National Committee has encountered in just the past few weeks. She went to go work for Maryland Governor Larry Hogan. Orlando Watson, the RNC's communications director of black media, he left last month. Prior to that, you had RNC journalist, filmmaker, and media strategist Tara Wall, and also former Republican National Committee Deputy Press Secretary Rafi Williams. Now, earlier this week, veteran GOP communications strategist Telly Lovelace has taken on the role as the new director of black initiatives and media. Chairman of the RNC, Rice Priebus, says, quote, Telly is a welcome addition to our team, and I'm confident his experience will help us build on our commitment to cultivate relationships and trust with black media and black communities. Now, the real question is, what is going on at the RNC? I want to talk about that, of course, with our panel, but also joining us is Republican strategist Raynard Jackson. Now, Raynard, I've talked to folks actually with the RNC, and I also talked to a number of other black Republicans. RNC folks say, look, there are a number of people who have left, who've taken other jobs, who've decided to grab other opportunities. But then when I talk to other black conservatives, they say, wait a minute, in a presidential election year, you normally don't leave the party committee because you wait to see what happens in the election because you're positioning yourself for White House jobs. You're positioning yourself for the next opportunity. What do you make of this exodus?
Well, number one, these folks were fired, and it should have happened last year.
They were fired because, again, I haven't heard one of them say they got fired.
Of course not. I mean, Roland, either you resign or we're going to fire you. So most people take the lesser of the two evils, and believe me, I know what I'm talking about. And they were in over their head. They had no message for the black community. They had no relationship with our congressional leadership. You can't, Roland, go into the black community saying you're trying to do outreach and not walk into the black community with legislative proposals to deal with issues they care about.
But here's the question. Also, you had about 12 outreach offices that were open last year. Now you're down to two. And so one of the things that I've heard is that from folks is that, look, you also have to have the financial commitment from party leaders. And so you can be African-American. You can be tasked with these various initiatives. But if you don't have a budget, if you don't have those resources to be able to go out and you know, create that support, doesn't matter who you are.
It's no question. But again, Roland, budget notwithstanding, what is it that the party is trying to say and communicate to the black community? You can't go into the black community in today's political climate, Roland, without saying, here's our solution to Section 5 of the Voting Rights Act based on what the Supreme Court said. You can't go into the black community without legislative proposals about the black unemployment rate. You can't go into the black community without dealing with this issue of crime in the black community. So the RNC is going to say that we're not a policy-making body, which is true, but don't send these staffers in and set them up for failure because they have no relationship with the congressional leadership who can propose policy solution to the black community. That's the issue.
Rhonda?
Well, there's a procedural issue here. I think those staffers who left were right on target. Here's why. When the Republican Party has a nominee, they clean house at the RNC. Reince Priebus is going to be gone. It is the right of the Republican nominee to come in, put his own person in as head of the RNC, and his own staffers. So consider that a blessing for them to leave. The second thing is Telly Lovelace probably wants to bring in his own people. Okay,
that won't
so
happen.
He's
going to
hire. Wait, he's going to hire a group of people
he
to assist.
He has no hiring
him.
Authority.
He's not. Wait and see. He's not going to be doing what he's doing alone. So. And the third thing I want to point out is one of the staffers left to go to who? Governor Hogan. Last time I checked, Governor Hogan's a Republican. So this isn't a mass exodus of African-Americans from the Republican Party.
Okay, it is a mass exodus because when you look at the fact that there's only one African-American, prior to hiring Telly, there's only one African-American left in the building. And so when you have trumpeted this, and I've also reached out and talked to a couple of folks who left. I've talked to other very prominent black conservatives. And look, they were texting me, also calling. They found it to be problematic because because their point is, look, how do you create a bench? How do you create the next generation of folks to come in when you look up and you look around and go, as we used to, we had a slogan on TV One, it used to be, we see black people, but then if you go there and you don't see black people.
Yeah, no, Renard, look, I don't want to contradict your reporting because I know you've been around party circles a long time and because, you know, I know you have talked to people at the RNC. But my reporting has matched what Roland is saying. I've talked to several of the people involved. I've talked to several other prominent black Republicans, and they have a slightly different version of this than what you're reporting out. And as you say, if the Republican Party, as you were just saying a minute ago, doesn't have the right message for African-Americans, for the African-American electorate, why would it be the case that that's on the people that one by one departed the party, right?
It almost sounded like
the next thing you could have said was they had to leave because they didn't have anything to sell to black voters.
Well, that's true, but also these people are so inexperienced, they don't have the relationship with
men. Inexperience
is different. They don't have the relationship, nor were they given the authority to contact a member of Congress from the Small Business Committee, Jim Sensenbrenner from the Judiciary Committee. And so if you're not going to empower these guys to be successful, we're pissing in the wind.
Well, I have to say, I'm not a reporter, but I am a voter. And how it looks to me is that the mass exodus is very telling. They are not on the RNC message. You cannot sell people a bag of magic beans. And I feel that the people who are subject to the Republican Party or in the party or trying to sell these magic beans around the community have realized they actually have magic beans. And they are not able to convert black voters, conservative voters, or liberal voters to the RNC elected officials, and that's why they're not successful, because
that's
the message
true.
Is not received.
No, that's not true that the Republican Party has a message, but they are not good at communicating that message and translating that message from D.C. speak in a way that resonates with
you
the black community.
You haven't given black community members enough credit. The message is clear. It is articulate. It is not being accepted, and it's not palpable.
Not
Let me just
that's
say
that's
one thing.
True.
When Michael Steele was chairman of the RNC, I had the pleasure of working with him in a program called Say It Loud. Paris Denard was part of that. You know, you've had guests on here. Lenny McAllister was part of that. I was part of that. And our job was to leave Washington. We traveled to some 42 states to try to communicate the Republican message to the grassroots and train them how to go on media, social media, television, radio. It was an extraordinarily successful program. It wasn't a flawed strategy. It was incredibly successful. And Michael Steele did some great work when he was chairman of the RNC, when he was heading up that organization, and that was the attempt to reach out, and it was a great attempt to reach out. It hasn't been there since then, but you're going to watch a mass exodus of staffers leave before there's the nominee. You're going to see a whole new crowd come in.
Well, Rhonda, I think one thing, I think you're right. There are all those people you named, Paris and Lenny, people that we've all talked to and worked with, they've gone out into communities and tried very hard, Chairman Steele, tried very hard to do outreach. The problem, as Laura was saying, is that when you're doing outreach with a message from the top of the party of disrespect for President Obama, more recently, whatever message is coming out of Donald Trump's mouth, opposition to the Affordable Care Act, which to this day still polls 70-75% positive among African Americans, other issues that are favored among the overwhelming majority of African Americans and not favored by the Republican Party. Those people, despite their best efforts, are going on a really almost like on an impossible mission.
Well, I'll say this here. First of all, we spent the last several days trying to get Telly to come on the show. He's had other commitments. I did talk to folks at the RNC. They said, folks left for a variety of reasons. Again, bottom line is, you can say what you want to say, but they get to say what they want to say as well. But they also said that you will see even more additional hires take place as well to replace some of the folks who left. So we'll see what takes place. Maybe Rice Peebles will come on and talk about it as well. He's been on before. Come on, Rice, you can come back.
When he leaves.
All right. Huh? No, he can come while he's there.
He'll be gone.
All right, then. Right now, we appreciate it. Thanks a bunch. Coming up next for us, we'll talk about the issue of black hair care products being segregated, if you will, in stores across the country and how one company is actually trying to change that. It's also What the Hell Thursday. And you know, we got some fun stuff to talk about with that. Got a good lineup of folks on the panel. All of that, News 1 Now, TV 1.
Okay, government might have shut down.
Let's end this shutdown right now. Let's put people back to work.
Listen, there's never been a president in our history that did not negotiate over the debt limit. Never. Not once.
But you can count on us. Welcome to News One Now with Roland Martin.
There's an aisle called beauty, and there is a section called ethnic. Do I feel like I'm beautiful?
Is ethnic not beautiful?
This is just the way it is.
How can I break down those walls?
We are Shea Moisture, and now we can be found in the beauty aisle where we all belong.
Folks, that is a commercial from Sundial Brands prompted by the fact that black hair care is a billion-dollar business, yet black hair care products being pushed to the ethnic aisle are simply not available in a number of stores. In fact, sales of the overall black hair care market were an estimated $2.7 billion in 2015. Black hair care sales make up 35% of all styling product sales. 51% of black consumers use styling products compared to 34% of U.S. consumers overall. Despite the demand, nearly 20% of black consumers report having trouble finding black hair care products. Of course, this is an issue we've talked about numerous times right here in News One Now. And joining me to discuss these beauty aisle barriers and what's being done to break through is Rich Dennis, founder and CEO of Sundial Brands, including the Shea Moisture line, Michaela Angela Davis, image activist, writer, and commentator, plus Allison McGevna. Okay, managing editor for HelloBeautiful.com. So, again, as I said, you know, we've had this discussion before. In terms of, one, a number of Korean stores freezing African-Americans out. A documentary was done on that as well. But that is different than where you sort of have what I call segregated shopping. And so what are the store's explanation for having the ethnic aisle than everybody else?
Well, so the stores and the retailers have made a lot of progress in this area over the past, say, 10 years, right? But we've still got a long ways to go. And the explanation behind it, or the thinking behind it, was you had these structural barriers within the stores and how the size of the stores and what they felt the size of the opportunity was for serving the African American community. And so you had these aisles set up, or these sections set up, where they felt they could bring in products that cater to the African American community, but they were so small and so limiting that they could only bring in certain amounts of products. So women would go in and they'd have to go to four or five stores just to find the type of products that they needed to do one hairstyle per se, right? So if you think about that, five trips just to go do your hair, very inconvenient, very frustrating. So the one issue was accessibility, right? The other issue is distribution, right? Is because the stores weren't focused in on necessarily the specific need states of African American consumers, you tended to have only sort of relaxer products, right? And so if a woman wanted to wear her hair natural, all she could find were products for relaxing her hair. If she wanted to wear it in a braid, all she could find were products for relaxing the hair. So the other piece here is assortment and choice, right? And making sure that women have a choice, whatever style they want to wear, however they want to wear their hair, there should be that choice. They should have those choices on shelf.
Yeah. Well, when we think about this, and again, the average person is going, okay, you talk about going in, doing your hair, but it is an issue when you're a consumer and all of a sudden you're trying to find some Ultra Sheen, or you're trying to find some Murray's, or you're trying to find, no, seriously, because all of a sudden you're going, okay.
Ultra Sheen and Murray's?
Yes, no, follow me here. What I'm saying, I'm going through. Because what I'm saying is, if you're talking about finding these products here, or anywhere, all of a sudden you're going, okay, I'm looking at everybody else stuff, but where's this? Right. And I've been in that situation, all of a sudden you start thinking, okay, are there any black people who live near here? And there's a reality when it comes to, you start thinking, where's the store, where's the neighborhood, and where the products are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We've been so conditioned to really buy into this subtle othering that happens all the time, and we have to be so careful because it's really the subtleties that really stick with us. And so for the fact that the aisles have been so segregated like that, that's a problem because it really, you start to feel like, well, I'm not in the same beauty aisle and beauty category, especially when you're talking about young women and they can't shop with their friends of, other races because they can't find the same products with the same accessibility. So what Shea Moisture is doing is really exciting because this is something that we've all talked about, but, is now coming to the national forefront.
And the reason, and so Michaela's like, did he actually say Ultra Sheen? Here's why.
No,
listen to this. Here's why. Because you also have companies that were formerly black owned that are not black owned. But then you still have the problem when you have black owned companies where they say, okay, you know what? Well, fine. We'll go ahead and put these products out that are no longer black owned because they say, well, look, they can afford additional marketing or whatever. But when you're trying to grow a business, then so forget you have a narrow aisle. When you're a black owned company, it's even harder because you're small and they're saying, well, look, bigger company, they're going to get a bigger display, they're going to get more products, and then you're left with one or two, and there's no way in the world you can grow capacity that way.
It ain't necessarily so, right? But it's not just exciting. This is revolutionary. And the average, when you say the average person, it might think this isn't a big thing, but black women, this is huge. This is generational. We've had to go into the margins, crawl on our knees to get things that are for your that care for yourself, that you use every single day, right?
The average person, because the reason I want the people to understand that, because we talk about economics on the show.
Right.
The reason I need them to understand that is because people missed it. $2.7 billion.
Yeah. Right.
Black folks and black women are driving the market. So when the market freezes black folks out when we are only the consumer, not the owner, then if you can't grow the black hair care company, then that decreases the opportunity for a black hair care company to be able to fund initiatives in black communities, be able to provide jobs. So for the person watching, this thing goes beyond, I can't find some lotion or some hair care product.
Right.
No, this thing deals with the black folks in a multiple number of ways.
But what I'm saying is that the black woman consumer is very informed. Mm-hmm. She knows how powerful her dollars have been for generations. And why it's important that this is a black-owned company is that you have the emotional, historic, societal knowledge to know how important this is. And so many black-owned companies had baked into their core values to take care of their community. And so when our companies get bought by these bigger companies, you might think, yes, you have more cash. But that core value of investing in your community as a business practice on the regular gets lost. So that's why for Sundial Brands or Shea Moisture to make this move is a revolutionary move. It is no small thing.
I think also to add on to that, and I completely align with what you're saying, because it's one of the major challenges that we have as a black-owned beauty company competing against the giants, right? They're not going to take on this initiative to say, hey, this is wrong, let's correct it. They're not going to invest the dollars in trying to bring change about. And so that's why it's so important that we invest our dollars, because they're not going to, right? And it's important that the community supports us as we try to grow and expand, because that's the other side of it is, I think there's this fear in our community that if a black company grows, or as they grow, that they become less focused on their needs and, and what they want, and now go focus on larger needs or larger consumers. And that's not necessarily true. What has happened in this business has been, as these companies have grown, they haven't had access to capital to compete. They haven't had access to talent. They haven't had access to resources. So they grow to a certain level, they get stuck, and then their only option is to sell. right? So our focus is, no, we don't want to get stuck. We want to keep growing, and this is part of it. You bring access to people, and you give them a voice.
Folks, go to, of course, you can check out the hashtag break the walls, which sparked this conversation. So you can do that if you go to Twitter as well, and then go to the website as well for more information. Folks, I surely appreciate it. Thank you so very much, and good luck with the campaign.
Thank you very much, man. Appreciate it.
All right, folks, coming back, of course, is What the Hell Thursday. You know we got some wild and absolutely crazy stories to talk about. We'll do so right here on News One Now TV.
Okay, government might have shut down.
Let's end this shutdown right now. Let's put people back to work.
Listen, there's never been a president in our history that did not negotiate over the debt limit. Never. Not once.
But you can count on us. Welcome to News One Now with Roland Martin.
Birthday shout-out time. Former NFL players Tiki and Rondé Barber, they're twins, turned 41. Of course, they both have birthdays today. Comedian, actor, my homie Bill Bellamy turns 51. NFL Hall of Famer Tony Dorsett turns 62. And actor Clark Peters from the series Treme and Jericho turns 64. All right, folks, it is What the Hell Thursday. We always have some great, wonderful, fascinating stories. Can you please put the phone down? Your hair is fine. Your hair is fine.
Just making sure.
Lord, Jesus, sitting here like, you know, all, yeah, like, what the hell? All right, we got the TV personality, Giselle Bryant. We also have TV personality with a little personality, Mr. Ray, and another media personality. Why don't we just simply say media personalities and name everybody?
Okay.
That's just me.
Okay.
Ashley Demi, she's so bougie.
Demi, okay. Get it right. This
all right,
Demi.
Okay, whatever, Demi.
Demi.
Right, yes. That ain't her last name.
Whatever.
That is her last name.
No, it's not. Her last name is probably Clark. All right, let's go right to our stories. Tennis, right, Johnson. William. Right.
Johnson.
Tennis whatever. Sensation Serena Williams is more talented than we thought. Here is she breaking down the finer points of how to twerk.
Twerking is a very popular dance right now. Here's how you twerk. First, reach those boobs. Then squeeze those quads. Squeeze the glutes. Engage your quads. Take a wide stance. Back and pause. And slowly slide down. Slowly relax. Enter. And five. And four. Three more. Two. Last one. And gas. Second set. Wally's here. Let's do it. And five.
Oh, my back.
Mr. Ray might be gay, but he's excited right now.
Every man's dream.
I got a little warm.
Let me say this, Serena. Yeah. Let me say this. Woo. That was some slow motion twerking.
That wasn't twerking.
Yes. That was her pants. She hurt tight. That's what it was. Her pants looked too.
No.
I'll never twerk again.
I saw somebody was a pale like that in Rihanna video and they were twerking.
Ooh.
So don't. It was work. I mean, so Serena was trying to be all cute with it.
Yeah.
Okay. You can't get cute with it with twerking.
You got to. You got the
face. Big old booty. Like she hurt my feelings. My booty. I'm trying, but it's not working. Nothing there. I'll never twerk again.
Your butt is small.
Pop shoulders.
Yes,
do
small.
Your shoulders.
I'll
do your
never
shoulders.
Twerk again.
I don't have
do your shoulders.
Shoulders.
No, baby. Hold on. If you twerking and your shoulders moving more than your butt,
that
ain't twerking.
That's shoulders
twerking.
Is for people who don't have butt.
That,
move
right.
Your shoulder, make you like
right,
you're
but
doing
that,
it.
But Serena, you got. I mean, that's slow motion.
That's oh my motion. Goodness.
But you get the effect, even in slow motion.
Well, first of all, the cameraman is sorry. He should have walked around her. But anyway, I'm sorry. Thank you. That's
okay,
much better.
That's
see, now she's getting better with it.
That's
but she
natural.
Still got the pop. Oh, no, we know that ain't fake.
That's natural.
We know that ain't fake. All right, folks.
She's hurting everybody's
in another case of all black people look the same, check out how Kevin Hart responds to a fan who thought he was Chris Rock.
Yes, yeah, what do you say again? Yes, I am.
Okay.
Yes, I am. Thank you. Pleasure to meet you.
You too.
Make sure you come to my show tonight.
Yes.
Okay. All right. It's called Rock the World.
Kevin was nice.
Yeah.
Kevin was nice.
She's
very nice.
Handled it that way.
No, it wouldn't handle.
You would tell her where to go.
It's so like when somebody said, Tavis. Who the hell is Tavis? And how you get an alpha confused with a kappa?
I don't know.
Yes.
So y'all had to let them know. Yes. I'm like, nah.
And yes. Kevin Hart is like 4'11", and Chris Rock's like 6 feet tall, right?
Chris is right. Yes. And Kevin probably, Kevin's arm muscles probably the size of Chris's thigh.
Yes.
Wow.
We don't all look alike. I'm not Evelyn Luzada. I'm not Vanessa Williams. I'm Giselle.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay. I got all confused.
You did?
I thought Derek Harper was about to walk in. I'm sorry. Whatever that dude is. Who's deal one of them folks dating? No, that's the Govans.
They
all
the
same. All the same.
See, because we all the same. We all the same. Thanks, Roland.
Lazada, Govan, a bunch of reality show people. I don't know. All right, they call New York City the city that never sleeps, but they never say why. It might be because this will happen to you if you snooze on the subway. This slumbering man was completely unaware of the large rat that was crawling all over him.
Oh, my God, gross.
Y'all, that ain't right.
Woo. That's not right at all.
That is not right.
Right, no. But he was wrong for sleeping in the rat's house. Like, this is New York subway, right?
Oh, Lord. Yeah, I can't. Stop playing the video. Stop. Yeah, stop. Stop.
Woo!
I can't even.
Let me find a pillow.
I can't even describe that because anything like a spider, I can see a spider from over there. So how he didn't feel that big old rat crawl up his leg, his shot around his head, and back down.
Right, that was huge.
That means he was really knocked out. All right, y'all, I got to pay some bills right now. We'll be back in 60 seconds right here on News 19 TV 1 and Small Butt Giselle.
Kickstart your day at 7 and get the news you need from the perspective you want. News 1 Now with Roland Martin, every weekday morning at 7 on TV 1.
Okay, Shelly, can you pull up my phone? Okay, Giselle, let me explain something to you.
Yes.
Okay, y'all, black people, okay? This is Giselle trying to take a selfie. You see that? When you go vertical, you can't get everybody in.
Yes.
Okay? Yet when you go horizontal, you can get more people in. You got that? Uh-huh.
Thank you. Thank you. 101.
Selfie 101. Selfie 101. But Giselle Bryant, Mr. Ray, and Ashley Bougie.
To me.
Work can be a little boring sometimes. You might even find yourself dozing off. Sleeping on the clock may work for those with the regular 9-to-5, but you shouldn't try it if you work on TV.
True.
You were watching Stephen Curry all year. Over here in the other corner, kind of creeping, is Russell Westbrook becoming a fire-breathing triple-double machine. He says that even Oscar Robertson, we mentioned this earlier, can't compare to his season. Do you agree? I think we got a technical difficulty.
I think Haverstraw is... I think Haverstraw is one of the best minds that we have.
All right, y'all. He wasn't really sleeping. I mean, I think he was sleeping.
Reading over his notes.
He was nodding. He was like,
I think he was reading over his notes. He was reading over his notes.
That's the black church nod. When you got.
What is wrong with y'all? That man was asleep.
He
did a Charles Barkley.
He was not asleep.
He was asleep.
No. Y'all being real nice.
No.
Y'all don't want him to get fired, and that's cool. He was asleep.
No, my girl Kara Chandler should have asked a more interesting question.
Wrong.
That's the black church nod. You know you get ready to fall asleep. But
anyway, all right, guess what? I got 3 seconds left. I'm about to go to sleep. Giselle, Mr. Ray, and Bougie down there, holla.
Kickstart your day at 7 and get the news you need from the perspective you want. News 1 Now with Roland Martin, every weekday morning at 7 on TV 1.